The Eagles look to stifle the rookie quarterback RG3 this weekend as they head down to Washington. Welcome to Eagles Green Zone, everyone. I'm Becky Brensinger.
And I'm Bob Bumbaria. Speaking of exciting rookies, the Eagles have several rookies who have played themselves into prominent roles this season. We're going to break down the rookies coming up next.
And coming up, I sit down one-on-one with Evan Mathis.
And also, don't forget, the bracket breakdown continues. The search for the greatest Eagle of all time at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote.
All here on Eagles Green Zone.
This is Eagles Green Zone. I'm Bob Bumbara as we analyze what's next for the Philadelphia Eagles. This Sunday at FedEx Field in Washington, the Redskins with a 1 o'clock game. And joining me, former Eagle and former NFL player Dan Klecko and Eagles insider Adam Kaplan. Guys, 2-3-6 teams here as the Eagles try to break a 5-game losing streak. And we're going to try to break out some of the rookies here on this show. First off, the rookie with the biggest spotlight, Nick Foles. Adam Kaplan, what did you think of Nick Foles' performance in his game against Dallas?
Guys, I think all things considered, I thought Foles did an excellent job of handling himself pre-snap, post-snap, with accuracy, did a very good job. Save a couple mental errors. I thought he really handled himself well. I thought created space to throw the football. I like how the coaches had him throw out a shotgun mostly. And he's very comfortable with that. He did that in college at the University of Arizona. I thought, honestly, when you look at the whole scope of things coming off the bench, getting work with the first team offense during the week, all things considered, I thought he did it very, very well for his first rookie experience.
Yeah, I thought he did really good. Like Adam said, coming cold off that bench, that's tough. And you know, when I listen to him after the game, and I listen to all the guys after the game talk about how he was in the huddle, you know, how he commanded the huddle, how he commanded the offense, and he said something in that post-game conference that, you know, really I haven't heard a ton of this year, and he said, hey, look, I'm going to get better. These are my brothers in that huddle. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to be fighting for them. And to me, that was huge for a rookie quarterback to come out and say that, not just go, you know, kind of get lost in the lights and say, oh, my God, you know, hopefully I do better. You know, he wants to get better. He wants to be the leader of this team, and you know, that's what I loved about him coming out of Sunday.
Well, on the other side of the ball, you got another promising quarterback with, of course, RG3 with the Redskins. Started off like gangbusters, but defenses have seemed to sort of adjust to him a little bit. What are defenses doing to Robert Griffin III? How are they trying to neutralize him?
Well, I think the biggest thing is he's lost his two best weapons. He's lost Fred Davis. He really hasn't had Pierre Garçon all year. And it comes to that point where, like you said, defenses do try to figure out. They know when you're going to come out in those Baylor offensive sets, and you're going to try and run those things. And they go back, they'll watch that Baylor film and see what guys did to stop you. So they'll game plan it for you now. And also, you got to remember, he's been playing all year. So there starts to become that wall. Their season's supposed to be over.
Well, in this episode of Green Zone, we're kind of taking a look at some of the rookies on the Eagles who have really been put into a prominent role. You mentioned Fletcher Cox. Michael Kendricks comes to mind on defense. Guys, rate their play so far this year, the rookies, these two defenders. Adam, let's start with you with Fletcher Cox and what he's been doing to improve during the season.
Yeah, I think, Bob, he's getting better. I think, I don't know about the rookie wall, but there had been some times where he wasn't really impactful. But you're starting to see why he was a high first-round pick, why some people thought he was the best defensive lineman available for this draft.
And I'm guessing, too, this week with RG3 in there, some of the spotlight could be on Michael Kendricks with contain and keeping an eye, not letting him get around corners. Are you expecting that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to spy him, that would be a good guy to do it. That's what he was in college. He was a great blitzer. He was a great guy to stand around the line and play. All year, I've seen a couple games where defensives take advantage of him. They high-low him. I've seen it a couple games, but he's done a really good job. And he's a sure tackler. He flies to the ball. He's around the ball all the time. He does a lot of good things. So, I mean, if you're looking for a guy to spy RG3, that could be one of the guys.
Adam, when we talk about these two prominent defensive rookies for the Eagles, Fletcher Cox, Michael Kendricks, do you see these guys as leaders on future teams? Where do you see them in the future for the Eagles?
Yeah, and I think when you look at guys at Fletcher Cox, I think he probably played 25 to 30% at defensive end in college at Mississippi State. That's something I could see as his career goes by in nickel, play him on the outside, or you can move him around a little bit. That's something I was hoping to see, and it's a situation where mentally can he pick it up, because that's a different technique. You're asking him to do different things. I think later in his career, maybe even next year, he could start doing that.
But I did. I thought that too. When they drafted him, I thought you could see him at end and more in base. I thought you'd see him out there and run plays and all. I do see that, though. And I think he's a stalwart on this team for the next, I want to say, 8 to 10 years. He's that type of player, and he's only going to continue to get better. Same with Kendricks. I think they're both the futures of this defense right now.
Dan Klecko, Adam Kaplan, thank you guys for being with us. As always, on Green Zone, there's one original starter still on that offensive line, left guard Evan Mathis. Becky Brenzinger has more with that starting offensive guard.
We're here with Evan Mathis today. And Evan, at what point in your life did you realize that you had a realistic shot to make it in the pros?
Okay, I've never been much of one to follow reality as much as I have my dreams. Early on, I think it was about ninth grade, I wrote a journal that we did in English class. And it was just write what you want to do in life. And I said, I want to go to the University of Alabama. I want to play football. I think I said I want to play baseball too. And then I want to go to the NFL. And then I want to go to the WWF to be a professional wrestler.
Did you wrestle around with your brother in the backyard?
Yeah. We made up characters. We all had a list of like 20 different people that we would go into character for. They all had their own entrance music.
I'm really curious as to what your entrance was.
We had a lot of Rocky soundtrack stuff.
Okay.
So a lot of the Survivor, Eye of the Tiger type stuff.
Well, the funny thing is that we actually found a baby picture. You're actually donning a garb of a really famous wrestler that you had just mentioned, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, this isn't me, but this is Becky being funny. Becky spends too much time on the internet.
Just like you do. You're very active in your online media presence. But, how did that begin? Because it started at a young age, but it all started with AOL.
My first screen name, I was a big Bone Thugs and Harmony fan, and I was the white member of Bone Thugs and Harmony, so
perfect.
I was Milkbone 15.
So is that where you, picked up the ladies at 14 years old?
Actually, I did. I met my first two girlfriends on AOL. I was really kind of socially awkward in high school early on.
No.
Maybe still now, I guess, so, but yeah. Anyway, I would search the member directory for girls in my area and just start chatting with them and just being a dork, exchanging pictures and kind of just building friendships online. The next thing I know, meet my first girlfriend that way.
How much of an impact has Coach Mudd have on the way that you play the game?
I think I've been the kind of guy who has a lot of physical talent. And early on, I think I was misguided. I didn't move to guard until my senior year of college. So the evolution of myself learning the multiple techniques that it takes to play in the league took me a while. When I had the opportunity to come play for the Eagles, it was one of the reasons I came here was because I heard that Howard Mudd was coming, and I've heard amazing things about him. Whatever I need to use in any situation, the technique, the footwork, I have an answer for everything now. It's not out there just trying to rely on raw talent or anything like that. There's an answer for it. There's a certain way to do everything.
First it was Peters, then Kelsey, then Watkins, and now Harriman's all out with injuries. How does it feel to be the last O-line starter standing?
It's a rough situation, more so because those guys, this is what they do. This is what they're most passionate about. It's football. And you see them one at a time losing their season. And, they want to be out there. It's kind of crushing to not be able to do what you do in life and to be limited in that aspect. And, I don't look at myself as a last man standing. I more so, I think it's terrible for them to not have the opportunity to be out there. But on the other end of the token, you have a lot of guys who are getting opportunities that they might not have gotten if these guys stayed healthy. And it's their chance to step up, and make a name for themselves.
You purchased one of these.
Yes.
Which is a Rockafire explosion set whenever you played for the Panthers.
Yes.
What led you to buy one of these?
Okay. The Rockafire explosion, if you don't know what it is, Google it, okay? This band was at Showbiz Pizza Place in the 80s into early 90s. And Showbiz Pizza Place eventually became Chuck E. Cheese when they were bought out. And I would go to Showbiz and eat my pizza, play my games, see the Rockafire explosion, and I was just in awe. I was like, these guys are awesome. They were really far ahead of their time, these animatronic robots on the stage. And I always had this plan to put it in a game room in my house, have some cool retro arcades, just a big throwback room. And that still will happen. It hasn't happened yet. So these poor guys are actually in two pods in storage in Charlotte right now. I hope they're not claustrophobic because it's a tight fit in there.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
Thank you.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. We are beyond the halfway point in the season for the Eagles, but we're in the Sweet 16 for the bracket breakdown and search for the greatest Eagle of all time. You still have time to vote. PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote as we take a look at two matchups from last week. Adam Kaplan, Dan Klecko, what do you see?
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, Adam, let's look at these. I mean, this is where it's starting to get hard for the fans again. Right now, Reggie White, Sheldon Brown, to me, not a shocker.
Yeah.
The greatest defensive player of all time. Donovan versus John. We love John. We love what he was as a blue-collar player. But Donovan McNabb, once
the
again.
The quarterback.
Yeah, the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. So that one right there, there's no real surprises. And Adam, when we look at this week's, you know, we got Chuck Manderick, Eric Allen, Seth Joyner, Randall Cunningham. Let's remember their iconic plays. Let's talk about some of the things that we'll always remember them for, some of the things that stick out in our minds. I mean, first of all, Chuck Manderick, the thing that sticks out in my mind is that picture. Obviously, I never saw him play, but that picture of him standing over Frank Gifford, just, you know, looking down, I'm saying, what are you going to do? I mean, that to me is just iconic. And then we go to Eric Allen. Really, you think of those defenses in the 90s. He was a huge part of that. You know, what do you think of when it comes to him?
Eric Allen, number 21, so many great plays, interceptions. We remember the interception return against the Jets. One of the craziest plays in Eagles history. In fact, voted one of the best defensive plays, quite frankly, of all time. And, you know, he was a big-time player. He did move over to the Raiders, but my memories were always here with the Eagles, and especially under Buddy Ryan.
And we go down here. We go to the 6-2 matchup. This one's a little tougher for us, but if we think about Seth, you know, the thing that comes to my mind is the House of Pain game, where he goes out and he has the 102-degree fever. He has 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries.
He's a rare player because you don't see guys be able to diagnose and make plays like he did. He's clear to me one of the best linebackers in Eagles history.
Yeah, I love that. And there's just some those guys that you could put in any system, any time, any era. He's one of those guys that would just dominate.
Great.
Next one, we go to Randall Cunningham. I mean, one of the most electric players, not only for the Eagles, but ever in the league. I mean, we can go to the punt. You can go to the time he makes the guy miss. He throws a touch. I mean, you know, tell me what you think of him.
The Giants game, I think it was, 1991?
Yeah.
And that Monday night game and that crazy play where he's running to his right, he's running in, and he gets flipped over by Carl Banks, but he scores.
Well, I mean, this is where it starts to get hard now, Bob. And I don't feel, you know, I feel bad for the fans that they have to go out there and vote right now. But tell them how they can go out there and do it.
Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. Please vote for the greatest Eagle of all time in our bracket breakdown. Hey, you know who had a memorable moment? It was Brian Westbrook. He had a lot of them. But the most memorable moment for Westbrook came in 2003 on an 83-yard punt return for a touchdown against the New York Giants. Here's more.
As Brian Westbrook scooped up this fourth quarter punt in the Meadowlands and raced toward the end zone, a season was saved and a career was jump-started. But to find out why this was such a big play, let's look back and find out what happened prior to the snap. The Eagles started the season by losing their first two home games to Tampa Bay and New England at brand new Lincoln Financial Field. An early bye week helped as the Eagles regrouped and won their next two games at Buffalo and at home against the Redskins. But for a team with Super Bowl expectations, a loss at Dallas in Week 6 was hugely disappointing and had their record below 500 at 2-3. This meant that the following week at the Meadowlands against the Giants was basically a must-win. Going into this game, second-year running back Brian Westbrook saw limited action and was used primarily on special teams as a return man. Both aspects of his game would be essential in the next 60 minutes. Westbrook would touch the ball for the Eagles on the first 4 plays of the game. After returning the opening kickoff, Andy Reid called his number on the opening 3 plays. 1 reception and 2 runs got the Eagles a first down and approaching midfield. Correll Buchalter took the next handoff and fumbled, turning the ball over to the Giants. Fortunately, the defense held, avoiding an early and costly mistake. On the Eagles' next possession, they drove down the field thanks to a big Giants penalty and a 25-yard catch by L.J. Smith. From the 6-yard line, Westbrook got the call again and put the Eagles up 7-0 in the first. Neither team could muster much offense the entire game as the Giants got the only score of the second quarter from a late interception thrown by Donovan McNabb. This set up a 39-yard field goal by Brett Conway, who was just signed days before to replace their injured kicker. The third quarter saw the Giants take the lead as Kerry Collins found Jeremy Shockey for this one-yard touchdown pass to put the Giants up 10-7. With just under 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the Giants were poised to make it a two-possession game. After an incomplete pass and a one-yard run, Kerry Collins was sacked by Mark Cimino in third down and fumbled the ball, which was recovered by Corey Simon. The Eagles come away unscathed and still trail by only 3 points. Now with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, New York had the ball in Eagles territory. They tried to run out the clock with three straight running plays, but the defense held, and the Eagles used all three of their timeouts. So the stage was set as former Eagle Jeff Fiegels punted it to an awaiting Westbrook. The punt was shorter than expected, as it took one hop to Westbrook. He grabbed it and split the first wave of defenders, then headed to the sidelines. He narrowly escaped the last outreaching Giant and raced to the end zone. This amazing return sparked a 9-game winning streak for the Eagles as they went on to win the NFC East and claim a first-round bye in the playoffs. It also served notice to the rest of the league that there was a star on the rise in Philadelphia.
Join the Eagles and the American Red Cross on December 1st for the 5th annual Eagles Blood Drive. All presenting donors will receive a limited edition Todd Harriman's number 79 t-shirt. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit www.redcrossblood.org/eagles to make your appointment today.
There's no better way to take out some frustration than on a team that's been at the bottom of the NFC East totem pole for the last decade. Sure, these two teams might have the same record right now, but in my very humble yet loudly spoken opinion, I-95 still belongs to us. The Eagles are 17-9 against the Redskins since 1999 and have only lost to the Redskins 3 times at FedEx Field. Come to think of it, these two teams have been butting heads since 1934, and we have some pretty fond memories of our nation's capital. And that's what we need to get back to. Capture some of that Washington, D.C. magic at the expense of the burgundy and gold. On defense, we need to get back to the body bag game. You remember that one. On Monday Night Football, the Eagles beat the Redskins 28-14 after not taking out one, not two, not three, but 8 Redskins players on the night. There were tire tracks all over the field, but nobody knew if that was from the Eagles defense running over the Redskins or from the meat wagon carting off the Redskins players. And on offense, we need to see a replay of another historic Monday Night Eagles-Redskins game, otherwise known as the Monday Night Massacre of 2010. Oh, come on, you remember that one. The Eagles laid a butt-whooping on the Redskins, 59-28. Boom! First play of the game, Vic to Jackson for an 88-yard touchdown. The game was over after the first play. And unlike the body bag game, we still have a lot of the players that played that Monday night. Jackson, Macklin, McCoy, Selleck, heck, even Michael Vick's jerseys in the Hall of Fame from that game. And you know what? They did it once, they can do it again. I know times are tough, but I still bleed green, especially when it comes to these NFC East games. I want to see these Philadelphia Eagles once again leave FedEx Field with a W. And all the Redskins fans at FedEx Field leave making the Steve Spurrier face.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin', and Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
You know, Bob, there's this new movie being released next week where the Eagles are featured very prominently. And guess what Philadelphia native is starring in that movie?
Well, this one I know. Bradley Cooper in the movie Silver Linings Playbook.
That's right, Bob. Let's check out a clip.
What meds are you on?
Me? None. I used to be on lithium and Seroquel and Abilify, but I don't take them anymore. No. They make me foggy and they also make me bloated.
Yeah, I was on Xanax and Effexor, but I agree, it wasn't as sharp, so I stopped.
You ever take Klonopin?
Klonopin, yeah.
Right?
Jesus.
Like, is it what?
Yeah.
What day is it? How about Trazodone?
Trazodone?
Well, it flattens you out. I mean, you are done. It takes the light right out of your eye.
God, I bet it does.
For Bob Bembera and Becky Brensinger, thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
Well, when the Rock of Fire explosion set does... Well, when the Rock of Fire... Okay, I'll just start that again. All right, so when the Rock of...
Here we go again.
So when the Rock of Fire explosion set does unveil, we're going to bring that to you special on Eagles Green Zone with Evan at his house.
You almost had it.